if you ordered a crate of 20 pounds of potatoes, and a few days later a crate comes, and you take the crate and bring it to your house, you made a kinyan on the crate, the talpum, box of potato, crate of potatoes, your talpum, you did a kinyan hagba, kinyan mashicha, you brought it to your house, kinyan chatzah, your kona, the crate of potatoes. Then you open the crate, and it turns out that it's actually not potatoes, they sent you tomatoes. Making mashicha, hagba, chatzah, making the tomatoes. The thing is, not you have the right to insist, it's not what I bought. I bought potatoes, you gave me tomatoes. Yes, I did a kinyan, but I made a kinyan on that box, on the tomatoes, under the false impression that it's potatoes. So it's the wrong item, nekaftos, I'm under. You take it, I'm under. And that's what the Rambam quotes from the Mishnayos and the Gemara, the beginning of Perek Tesvav, when he begins his discussion, his multi-perek discussion of nekaftos. It is either they sent a crate of potatoes, but turns out that it was half full of stuffing. It's only 10 pounds of potatoes. Or they sent tomatoes instead of potatoes. Potatoes instead of tomatoes. They asked for red potatoes instead of white potatoes. Russets, idols. The wrong item. The wrong item, mekartos. There was some sort of mum. Yeah, they said, I ordered 20 pounds of potatoes, and they shipped me 20 pounds of potatoes, but turns out that half of them are rotten. They're spoiled. They're growing mold. They have holes in them. They're working. A mum. So, mekaftos. If I decide that I'm glad to keep what they sent me, okay, then maybe, perhaps, the scheme is valid. But if I say, no, this is not, that's not what I had, that's not all the item that I ordered, it's not the right amount, or it is a potato, but it has a mum, mekaftos, kinyan is chosen. Shulchan Aruch and Reish Lamed Dalet, Simon Reish Lamed Dalet, Choshe Mishpat, Shulchan Shulchan Aruch are divided into four chalakim. When the Rosh Hashanah of Yaakov crafted his halacha sefer, became known as the Arba'a Turim, or the Tur for short, in the 1300s, and then 200 years later, Yosef Karo wrote a running commentary on the Tur called the Beis Yosef, and which became the basis for the halacha sefer that he wrote called the Shulchan Aruch. And around the Shulchan Aruch, he adopted the organizational scheme that had already been crafted 200 years earlier by Rabbeinu Yaakov ben Asher, the author of the Torah. So it's called Arba'a Turim because there are four sections to it. So the halachas of every day and davening, tzitzis, tefillin, and so forth, brachas, and Shabbos and Yom Tov, those are all in the chelak called Or HaChaim, Tur Or HaChaim. Halachas of Nashim, Kohen, Eben Ezer, halachas of Seder Nezikin, Medina Mamanis, are in Choshen Mishpat. Obviously, Avodah Zarah isn't there, but the things that are actually Dinei Mamonos are in Choshen Mishpat, and everything else goes into Yeridah. So, Kashrus, and Avelos, and Trumas, and Maestros, and Nedarim, Hilchos Nida, Hilchos Ribas, all sorts of things, miscellaneous Yisrael Heter are in Yeridah. That's the layout of the Tur and the Shulchan Aruch. So, deep into Schelet Choshen Mishpat, which is again about Dinei Mamonos, so in Reish Lamed Dalet, the Tur and Shulchan Aruch are talking about Mekaftos. So the Shulchan Aruch there quotes the Rambam. The Shulchan Aruch says. That if I sell you something, trade. Because he gives a case with the Bechor, then it's Sebal, then it's Sebbe, Reish Lamed Dalet, Sebbe. Shofet Paro Mechara, the Noza Shi Trefa. A shecht an animal, a butcher shechts an animal, he starts selling the meat. Starts selling the meat. And then, no one's buying a whole animal, that's an incredible amount of meat. So slowly, he's selling off piece by piece, selling the shoulder rolls and shoulder. This flank of that piece. After a while, someone notices in one of the organs there is a defect that renders the animal a trefa, the whole animal a trefa. If there's a sort of a hole or a slit or what have you in the brain, in the heart, in the stomach, in the intestines that make it a trefa, that doesn't mean that organ is non-kosher. It means the whole an animal that has such a anatomical defect, the entire animal is a trefa. So the butcher already sold much of the meat of the animal to customers, and then he discovers after a while that the animal is a trefa, which means all those pieces of meat are asur to eat. No dishi trefa, masha achlu achlu yafzal nadamin. Whatever people already ate, there's no way to give back the food that's already eaten, but the butcher, the seller, still has to refund them purchase price. So if I bought a roast for $60 and we ate it on Yom Tov, and then a week later the butcher calls and says, I don't know how to tell you this, but the animal is a trefa, so I have no meat to give back to him, but he's still going to give me back the full purchase price of $60. If it wasn't yet eaten, so I give him back the tray for roast, it's still in the freezer, it's still in the fridge, and he gives me back the $60. Where did the Shulchan Aruch get this from? The Rambam, according to the Rambam, right? So the Rambam, the Chira, Gan, the Perek, Gizah. And that's the Rambam in Halacha Yud, Beis. Se'ifim, Aleph, and Beis in Shulchan Aruch, Reish, Lama, Dalet, correspond to Halacha Yud, Beis, in the Rambam, Hilchos, Mechir, Perek, Tezai. And then he goes on to say, instead of Gimel, this corresponds to Halacha Yud Dalet in the Rambam, but if I sold you something that's only Sidrabanan, then what? Then what was his only Drabbanan? What does Ram say? What does the Ram Shulchan Aruch say?
You don't return.
Yep. Well, be more, a little more precise.
Don't get money back.
You don't get the money back if... Right. If you haven't eaten it yet, so then return the meat, and you get the money back. Say, I can't eat this meat. Anyway. But if you already ate it, so then the guy says, I'm so sorry, it's treif. You already ate it, so then... You ate it. I'm glad you enjoyed. You have nothing to give back to me. I have no cash to give back to you. That's what Mechaber says it. And it's not the Mechaber's Chiddush. Shulchan Aruch, the Rambam says it. Mechaber is another term for the Shulchan Aruch. Mechaber literally means the author, the composer. So you often, you'll come across that term often. People say, the Mechaber says, that means it could be anyone. Anyone who wrote a Sefer is a Mechaber. But when we say Mechaber, Stam, not saying Mechaber of which Sefer, we mean stam default, stam mechaber is the Shulchan Aruch. That's apparently the Sefer. Chumash is the Sefer, but the author of Chumash has a title. Hashem. But the author of Shulchan Aruch is the Mechaber. The Mechaber means the Shulchan Aruch. So the Mechaber is calling the Rambam, who again makes this chiluk between selling Machal Surahs min HaTorah and selling Machal Surahs mi de Rabbanah. Question is, why? What's that supposed to mean? How come? How come? I understand. Treif is treif. Now, it's interesting. You could ask this question one of two ways. You could say, well, you know, if the din is that you get your money back, if you're ready to eat the treif for food, halachi beis, sif beis, I want to say the same way as Asim Drabbanan. You sold me treif for food, I ate the treif for food, I treif me Drabbanan, treif my throat, it didn't matter. It was also to eat, but I ate it anyways. So if that's the rule, that's the rule. That even if I can't give it back to you because I already ate it, I still get my money back. Why should we not extend the same privilege to the buyer who fell in with an Issa Drabbanan that we do to a buyer who fell with an Issa Drabbanan? Or you could ask the question the other direction. How come, because instead of asking how come the din is different by Drabbanan, you could ask how come the din is that way by Drabbanan? In other words, you ate it already, even if it's straight from that Torah. What are you giving me money back for? You ate it. If you haven't eaten it yet, so I say, I don't want this. Give me a refund. Understood. It's trade for me. I didn't want to buy trade for meat. I asked for potatoes. You gave me tomatoes. The wrong item. Mekachtos. Close it. You ate it. You ate it. And so you can ask either way. You can ask, given that the din is that it is the most chozros by Machal Sosur, so how come Drabon is different? Or you can ask the more fundamental question. So you saw the Nesivus. What does the Nesivus say? He gives an answer that sort of speaks to both of these issues. How come? How come? How come there's a distinction in Drasa Rabbanan? How come you get your money back if, even if you, though you can't return the trade for food from the Torah? What do you say? What do you say?
Because it has to do with the Isra Hana of the meat.
The Isra Hana. Isra Hana, even by Drabbanan, works differently. Well, let's hold off Isra and Olis for now. Let's talk about Machal Zazurus. Right? Machal Zazurus, no Isra, no. But you weren't allowed to, you weren't allowed to eat it. Isra Hanan, maybe that's something that's not saleable. That's a sort of like a separate, something to file away. That it's if the Mishnah says in the second paragraph of Kiddushin, that if a, the Mishnah tells us the first paragraph, first Mishnah Kiddushin, the first paragraph, says that one of the methods of keeping Kiddushin, keeping Kesef, to give an item of value, at least worth at least the truth. The Mishnah says in the second paragraph, that if a fellow gives a girl, a boy gives a girl, we usually give rings, but it doesn't have to be a ring. Give a girl a lollipop, not particularly romantic, but a lollipop is worth a fruit that he likes it and she likes it. They found each other, Baruch Hashem, and two people who would appreciate that, and not to appreciate lollipops, but to appreciate a lollipop instead of a wedding band. Okay, if they're all happy, then we're happy too, and it's valid, assuming the lollipop is a shot of fruit. But let's say he gave the girl, or he gives the girl a nice deli sandwich. Okay, again, I'm pro deli sandwiches, but I also, that doesn't seem like the most romantic way to get married. Like, he's happy and she's happy. And then he says, I am, let's leave the sandwich set. And she says, great, let's eat. So then they found each other, Baruch Hashem, and they're married. But let's say he hands her, a steak, and the steak is asur b'hanah. It's a steak from a shor haniskal, a rare item. He worked really hard. He knew it would mean a lot to her. So he found a steak from a shor haniskal. But he gives her an entire shor haniskal. Her head mukhidoshesli. That's quite a lot of meat, and they're not married. Which it says, because you cannot be makadosh a girl with isuri hanah. Not valid. Not just that the wrong thing to do, it's not valid. Why is it not valid is a good question. It's possible, again, I don't want to get deeper in than this for now, because this is really a sidebar. It's possible, you could say, Isur Hanah don't have any value. What are we going to sell them for? You're not supposed to have any Hanah, you're not supposed to sell Isur Hanah. There's no market. Or more fundamentally, something else about Hanah doesn't really lend itself to Kinyan. It fundamentally has no value. Fundamentally, it's not saleable. So then that makes good money here too. As I gave you something else about Hanah, there was no Kinyan. The whole thing, the Kinyan never got off the ground. You paid for nothing. Eat, didn't eat, doesn't matter. There was no Kinyan. It was Asur Hanah. So let's put Isur Hanah on the side. Isur Hanah have their own little sub-world. We'll put them on the side. We deal with regular machalos asuras. A Jew can buy and sell non-kosher meat. I can go to the, you're allowed to, and it's valid. I can go to the store. I can go to the Petco and buy non-kosher meat to feed my dog. That's a valid kinyan. It's not asur hanah. Assuming it's not asur hanah, some dog food is basar b'chalav. So if you own it, you know a Jew owns a dog, tell him to make sure to get dog food, which is kosher for dogs, and then not asur b'hanah, not bas b'chalav, not tzara. But assuming it's just trade for meat, it's okay. That's a valid kinyan. You can, if I know that I'm buying trade for meat, that's a perfectly valid kinyan. The problem here is I thought I was buying kosher meat, and then it turns out they sold me trade for meat. Not asur b'hanah, but trade for meat. So Mecca, it could have been a valid kinyan. It's not asur b'hanah, but it's a Mecca chtos, because under false pretenses. So how can we differentiate between trade from Yatar or trade from Jabanan? Or how come at all we differentiate between trade versus some other type of Mekaptos, where typically if you can't return the item, then you're not getting money back, yeah?
Because by terrorizing this ring of
Kaptos. Good. So sometimes when you do an Isser, Bishogay, you have to bring a carbon cost. Right, that we know, that's a in the beginning of Chumash Vayikra. Right, we know that well. We've come across that many Masechtos, that whenever you have an Aveira for which if you didn't bemaze it, you get an Onish Kares, and there's a list of 36 such Aveiras, 36 Krisos, that's the first Mishnah Masechtos Krisos, it's Perek Shloshim Vashesh, because the Perek Masechta opens, there are 36 Halachas for which violation thereof brings in a sakaris. For almost all those, you do the bishogay, you have to bring a carbon chata. You have not violated b'mezid, you get kares. Violated bishogay, you don't get kares, you have to bring a carbon chata. So we already discussed earlier in the year in the city of Asasek that teaches you something very fundamental. The fact that if a Jew is machal Shabbos B'shoge gets to bring carbon chattas. A Jew is over to Vodazar, B'shoge is to bring carbon chattas. A Jew is Baal Ha'erva, B'shoge. A Jew, let's say, a woman thought that she was divorced, turns out she wasn't divorced. If she got married, thinking she was already divorced from the first husband, turns out the get was not valid. So that might be a case of Eshes Es B'shoge. But then when they find out, so they the second husband, who wasn't really a husband, but thought he was, they thought they were everything was fine. So that might be a case of Eshes Es B'shoge, and the second husband and the woman both have to bring carbon chattas. Eshes Es B'shoge. Or Jewe Chelev, drink dam, B'shoge, carbon chattas. What that teaches you is that an Aveir B'shoge requires kapara. That's without getting into the details, the big zooming out the view from 30,000 feet, the big concept that kind of emerges from the din of carbon chattas is you need kapara when you do an Aveir B'shoge. You're not off scot free. You are liable. You're not as responsible as for Aveir B'mezid.
Or Golos, right?
Golos is another great example, right? The fact that every once in a while you have an Onesh, right, you do something, or a kapara procedure for an Aveir B'shoge, good point, Golos as well, teaches you that Averis B'shoge are your responsibility, and you do require kapara. The Torah doesn't always prescribe what the kapara is, but an Averis B'shoge requires kapara. Not as much as Averis B'mezid, but it requires kapara. There was a chet. The fact that, I forgot, sometimes school trains us, usually school trains us correctly. Every once in a while, school trains us with inappropriate ideas. One of them is that sometimes some students get the impression that if you say you forgot, then you're off scot-free. Shogeg. I have no achrayus. The truth is, you do have achrayus if you forget. Not as much achrayus, but you should remember. You should have paid more attention. And that is something that requires kapara. I made a mistake. You have to fix. So, and the Siva starts talking right away about kapara. The kapara for shogi. It's an interesting idea. And even before you get to the Deraisa Rabbana, which is his focus, it's worth noticing that the concept that the Siva is raising solves our larger problem too. How come you get to get your money back if you already ate the tray for meat, if it was also in our Torah, but I ate it already? The answer is yes, you ate it already. But it's not like I sold it away to a non-Jew or I fed it to an animal. I ate it, a Jewish human being ate it. So yes, I had a good meal. And yes, I saved money on what I otherwise would have to pay for some other food for supper. But there's a cost also. Yes, I saved money on supper because I ate this tray of meat that you sold me. But I lost out because now I did not there. And now there are strings attached. There's a spiritual cost because now I did not there B'shoge in Sar Kapar. So I want my money back because you imposed a cost on me. A cost which arguably is far more than the $60 that I paid for the steak thinking it was kosher. So certainly, it's not as though, okay, you know, I paid you, but I got my money's worth. I did not get my money's worth. I got meat, but on the other hand, I incurred a spiritual cost. Sar Kapar. Oh, says the Nesivas. In that case, what's going on by Drabanans? How come that if I ate it, it's a drab? If you sold me a chicken cheeseburger is only us and I. We passed in that bas b'chal of the rice is only with animal meat, basar behema. But if it's basar of b'chal of, if I have chicken and cheese, but that's an Issa Drabana, but not an Issa Drabana. That's a Macholkes later on, the eighth parak of our Masechta. So we pass an Oph B'chalav is Issa Drabana. So the fellow sells me a chicken cheeseburger. He told me that it's not real chicken. He told me it's veggie chicken. He told me the chicken is par or the cheese is par. No, it's kosher. And I bought it. So if I realize before I eat it, I say, I want my money back. Take the tray for sandwich, I want my money back. But if I already ate it, so then I don't get my money back. Why? Says, what does the Siva say? The key line? He says, because in Issa Drabanan, the Shogeg, in Issa Drabanan, the Shogeg, does not require kapara. It says at the bottom of the column, it says, boy, this is the rice, I lost more than I gained. I gained that I had supper, but I lost, and now I did not bear. It's on my record. That's a greater cost than the value of the fact that I had supper. I didn't have to spend money on something else for supper. But by Darbanan, he says, Isra Rabban Bashogeg, you see from the Rambam, Isra Rabban Bashogeg, Eino Tzara Kapara. He says, you did Aver Daraisa, yeah, you need Kapara for that. You get some degree of credit. Aver Darbanan, Bumezin, Tzara Kapara, Bashogeg, and Tzara Kapara. It seems to say, well, that just seems to emerge from the Rambam. It's like once you ate it, you're good to go. You didn't realize, you need Bumezin, Bashogeg, you thought it was kosher. The question is, but why? Why is it Drabban B'Shogeg any different than Darais B'Shogeg? You don't think we see what it says? A remarkable idea, which gets quoted heavily by Acharonim, who by the Yeshiva lived in the 1700s, quoted heavily afterwards. Yeshiva says, you know why? He says, if the Torah says you're not allowed to eat pork, that means that pork is treif. It has properties of Isra. That's a thing that's categorized metaphysically, spiritually categorized as being problematic. Something I cannot touch. I can't eat. It's the spiritual equivalent of spoiled food. If you ate it, you ate something you're not supposed to eat. He says, but let's say I do an Avera Drabana. What's wrong with doing an Avera Drabana? Chazal say, don't eat chicken and cheese. Let's say I do. So he says, the Siva says, look, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created all sorts of objects in the world, gave them all sorts of physical properties, and all sorts of spiritual properties. But then, HaKadosh Baruch Hu empowers Chazal to create additional, legislate additional dinim drabon. So if HaKadosh Baruch Hu created pork with a certain spiritual property, treif. But when Chazal come along and say Besar of Becholov, you can't eat that, what does that mean? They're not changing the quality of the food item. They don't have the right to do that. What they have the right to do is to legislate. They can make rules, and we have the chiyuv, lo saser, we have the chiyuv to listen to their rules. HaKadosh Baruch Hu empowers Chazal to make rules in order to reinforce the Dinim D'oraisa, and he tells them that's their job, and our job is to follow the rules. You don't follow the rules, that's their problem. You're not listening to Chazal's legislation. You are being sar. Different psukim are mentioned in the Gemara and Rishonim, but what's the basis for our obligation to follow Dinim D'rabanan? Let's say it's lo saser. The pasuk in Parsha Shofet. You're not allowed to veer away from what Chazal said. So some assume that that's the reference. That when they make a din drabanan, you have to follow. Okay, so if they said, don't eat oath b'chalav, and I did, I was sar mi divrehem. I was morayed, I'm rebelling against the authority of Chazal, and that's a problem. But that's a step removed. In other words, that's saying that issur drabanan is merit. I'm not accepting the authority of Chazal. I'm rebelling against Chazal's authority. I'm rejecting their legislation. I'm not listening to their rules. It's not that they can't, in other words, Nesiva says, they can't make the oath b'chol of treif. They can't infuse it with properties of Isser. They're not creating the world. They're not God. What they can do is they can make rules that we're mechayev to listen to. They can make a rule that you have to read Megillah. If you read Megillah, you violate their rules. They can make a rule, you have to wash till they die. You didn't wash till they die, violate the rules. They can make a rule, you can't eat the Basar of Fakhala. If you did, you violated their rules. Not that there's any property, they can't change the essence of the Oath Fakhala, but they can make rules, you have to list behavioral expectations that you need to follow. If you don't follow them, it's not that the Oath Fakhala is fundamentally, intrinsically treif, but that they made a rule about behavior and you're not following their rule. Why does all this sound very abstract and philosophical? Right? If you want to, we can translate this into Hebrew and say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes an Isser on Chazir or on Bas B'Chalav, it's Asur B'Cheftza. The Atzmius of the Cheftza has
properties of Issa, metaphysical properties of Issa. But when Chazal make rules, it can't, they're not changing anything about the item. They're just making rules that I need to follow their rules. That's what we call an Issa Gavra, right? It's external to the item. It says behavior rules. The first, I need to follow, I need to behave according to their rules. That would be, say, they assume the Raisa, or Issa Hefza, or Issa Davanan, or Issa Gavra. But first, I gave you the paragraph in English, and then after you can use the Lundische Sprach as a label for that paragraph. Says the Yeshivas, he doesn't use the words Issa Gavra, but he essentially says that. And therefore, and what is that Issa Gavra? The Issa Gavra is Mered. You're being Morade. You're rebelling against the authority of Chazal. So the Yeshivas says, I could go a step further. I already, one step in the Yeshivas is to posit that Issur Rabbanan are never intrinsic. They're always Issur Gavra. And then he says, if that's true, so then let's take it a step further and say, and since the Issur Gavra is an Issur of Mered, if you did Beshogeg, it's Mutter. The problem is that I'm rejecting and rebelling, rejecting Chazal's authority. So if I knew what I was doing, that's a rejection. I knew what I was doing, that's an Aveira. I thought it was kosher. I went to the store, and the ostensibly observant store owner said, here's par of chicken cheeseburger. It's totally kosher. So I said, great, and I ate it. I wasn't trying to violate Yisur and Rabbanan. I thought it was mutter. And then after it turns out, no, actually, it's real chicken and real cheese. So it's a Rabbanan b'shogeg, says Nesivis. Ein tzarich kapara. I didn't do anything wrong. The whole Yisur Rabbanan is not... They can't make the thing trait. They just make rules, and I'm not allowed to disrespect their rules. I didn't disrespect the rules. It was b'shogeg. I didn't realize that anything was wrong. Here's a kasha I don't have a good answer to, but it'll help us for this. If you look at household cleaning fluids, right, they often have a warning label on the back. Right? Bleach, ammonia, whatever. Right? The church often have a warning label on the back that tells you, this is poison, don't drink it. Don't drink it, don't sniff it, don't smell it. Only use as directed. Often it'll say, intentional misuse of this product may cause severe injury, even death. And that's a very difficult statement. It's true that misuse of that product may cause injury, even death, Rahman al-Salam. The word intentional, though, is I'm not sure what the problem is. It's only poisonous if I meant to drink it, but if I drank it by accident, it's not poisonous. That's a kasha which I have no terrors on the warning label. Why is that intentional misuse? Because if it's poison, then it's poison whether you meant your kavanah is irrelevant. Rachman al-Tzlan, a person ingests poison, it's going to be dangerous regardless of what his intention was. Because it is poison. That's true for physical poison. It's true for spiritual, metaphysical poison. If I eat something which is treif, I ate something treif. Like it or not, whether I meant to or I didn't mean to, the reality is I ingested something which is metaphysically poisonous. It's an Issur Chefza. Says in the Sivas, that's only true by Yisurim Daraisa, where that is the nature of the thing. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said of the world. Those things are metaphysical. Some things are physically poisonous, biologically poisonous, and some things are spiritually metaphysically poisonous. Oh. He says, but by Yisurim Rabbanan, Chazal can't change the nature of stuff. All they can do is they have the right, they're authorized by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to make rules, behavioral rules, and we have to follow them. So Memela, it's specifically by Yisur Drabbanan, which are not fundamentally poisonous, where it's only intentional misuse is problematic. If you did Yisur Drabbanan b'mezid, that was an act of merit, and that's an aveira, lo sasso. But the Nesivas suggests, if it's only Yisur Gavra, then maybe if I did b'shogeg, there was no Yisur at all. There was no merit, there was no Yisur. Eino Drabbanan, Yisur Drabbanan b'shogeg, eino tzarech kapara. That's Nesivas' chiddush, and he says, that's pshat in the Shulchan Aruch. That's pshat in the Shulchan Aruch. How so? And he says, look, let's come back to where we started. How come the Shulchan Aruch is machalik? And really, it's the Rambam, as we saw. Do your homework and follow the paper trail. Shulchan Aruch is quoting the Rambam. How come the Rambam was machalik between eating Issur D'oraisa and eating Issur D'rabbanan? If I didn't eat it, I could always return it for a refund. But if I did eat it, then if it's daraisa, I can get my money back. If it's rabbanan, I cannot. Why? Why can't I get my money back? I ate something drink. So the answer is resolved. How come I get my money back if I ate the trade for food without Torah? I already ate it. So he said, no, the answer is, but there was a cost. It's not like I sold it to the non-Jewish markets, I made some money off of it. I ate it. It's not like if I feed it to the dog, okay, so I at least recouped the value of whatever I would have paid for dog food. But here, I didn't recoup anything. Because yes, I got supper out of it, but the spiritual cost of having done that Aveda v'shogeg is far more than the value, the money saved, of supper. But that's only because Aveda v'shogeg is Aveda, but not, that's true by the Sfita Raisa. By Yisrael Rabbanan, he says, as I just explained to you, that since step one, Yisrael Rabbanan only Yisrael Gavra, therefore step two, the Nesivus argues it's only an Isser when it's been mazed, because the whole Isser Gavra is merit, and therefore Bishogeg ain't doing anything wrong in Isser Chapara, and therefore step three, once I ate the Isser Rabbanan, thinking that it was kosher, then I didn't do any Avera, because it's Rabbanan Bishogeg, and therefore I don't get my money back. Because you ate it, you had a good supper, you're done. Where it's only by the Daraisa, even though you ate it, you had a good supper physically, but spiritually you incur the cost of a chet that requires kapara. So that's in the Nesivus. He says he looks at the Shulchan Aruch and Reish Siman and Reish Lamed Daled, or if you like, the Rambam, the end of Perek Zayin of Hilchos Mechira, he says, Gevaldik, you know what I see in the midst of Hilchos Mechira, in the midst of Chesher Mishma, it's not where you expect to find lovedness about the nature of Yisroel Drabanan. The Nesivus says, boom, there you go. Yisur and Rabbanan are only Yisur and Gavra. And therefore, they don't require, and specifically, it's an Yisur merit against Chazal's rules. Therefore, B'shogeg and Tzar Kapar by Rabbanan. And that's why the Rambam Shulchan Aruch Machalik, which is Mechathos by Yisur Daraisa, Mechathos by Yisur Rabbanan. And that's the Nesivus, who was quoted forever after, at least until the 1920s, by Achronim Levin, right? Who said, ah! That became Yesod Musa. Yisod Rabbanan, Yisurim Rabbanan only Yisur Gavra. Yisod Rabbanan only Yisur Gavra. Nafkamina, therefore, does Shogeg require Kapara? Nafkamina, if I ate it, can I sue for a refund anyhow or not? That's the way it was until the 1920s. And it looks like, given our time, we're going to stop at the 1910s right now. And next time, if it's Monday, we're going to see that in the 20th century, Rezeb Engel came along and said, whoa, not so fast there. Everyone's been assuming for the last century and a half that Yisur Rabbanan are fundamentally been assumed Daraisa, Yisur Rabbanan only Yisur Yagra. One second, I have a Rambam that supports that, but I have a Raya against it from our Sugya. We will pick up with that and wrap up the whole Sugya together with them on Monday.